Support for this podcast comes from San Francisco International Airport. At SFO, you can discover award-winning flavors and unique shops all before takeoff. Learn more about what's at SFO at flysfo.com.
Hey, it's Glenn Washington from Snap Judgment. And if you love what you're hearing, and I know you love what you're hearing, please consider becoming a KQED member. Get special access to cool events, behind-the-scenes footage, and so much more. Plus, you'll sleep better at night knowing you did your part for the community you depend upon. It's in you. Please be in it. Visit donate.kqed.org/podcasts to sign up now. That's podcast with an S. Thanks.
From KQED.
From KQED in San Francisco, I'm Mina Kim. Coming up on Forum, AJ Jacobs says he's been crazy for puzzles his entire life. Crosswords, anagrams, and other word games. Also jigsaws, math puzzles, chess puzzles, twisty puzzles like the Rubik's Cube, and puzzle boxes from centuries ago. And it's not just about the joy and satisfaction of solving them. He says puzzles make us better thinkers and better people. AJ Jacobs' new book is The Puzzler, one man's quest to solve the most baffling puzzles ever, from crosswords to jigsaws to the meaning of life. And we want to hear from you. What's your go-to puzzle and why? Join us. This is Forum. I'm Mina Kim. And today we're talking about puzzles. So listeners, I have a crossword clue for you. What Tom Hanks might be given thanks for? The answer is an eight-letter word that starts with the letter U. What Tom Hanks might be given thanks for? Or it might help if I read it, what Tom Hanks might be given T. Hanks for? Again, this is an eight-letter word that starts with the letter U. All right, and with the answer and joining me now is AJ Jacobs, a lifelong puzzler whose new book is called The Puzzler, with this intriguing subtitle, One Man's Quest to Solve the Most Baffling Puzzles Ever, from crosswords to jigsaws to the meaning of life. AJ Jacobs, welcome to Forum.
Thank you, Mina. Delighted to be here.
Well, we're delighted to have you and dying to know the answer. So what's the answer?
Well, it's funny. It's a famously tricky clue. It won a couple of years ago. It won Best Crossword Clue in the crossword version of the Oscars, which do exist. So the answer is username. Because T. Hanks, you get it, is likely the username for Tom Hanks. You take the first letter of the first name, followed by the last name. So I'm A. Jacobs. He would be T. Hanks. Thanks. For the record, I was baffled by this clue for a long time.
Well, thanks a lot, AJ. Appreciate that. I understand you have some more word puzzles that listeners can solve with you on the air if they want to. And just to give them a sense of what you mean, I've actually asked my friend and colleague, Ted Goldberg, to show them and to tackle a couple of ditloids with us. First of all, Ted, are you there?
I'm right here.
Thanks for doing this, Ted.
All right, Ted. Yes.
What are ditloids, first of all, AJ? What are ditloids? Because I did not know.
Well, it is not so well known, but I'm a fan of this puzzle type. What it is a common phrase that begins with a number, but the phrase has been reduced to its initial letters. So for instance, 52W in a Y, that's the clue, 52W in a Y. The answer is 52 weeks in a year. So are you ready, Ted?
I guess so.
Okay, here you go. We're not going to to stump you. These are okay. 5,280 F in M. 5,280 F in M.
I'm having a tough go here. I just want you to be aware this is not coming to me very quickly.
Okay. Well, it is. Let me think if I can think marathons thing.
5,280 feet in a mile.
There Woo! It is.
All right. See? I would not have gotten it, though, without your hint. I want you to know that.
All right. Well, it was just the tiniest of hints. How about this one? 20,000 L under the S.
20,000 L under the S?
Yes. L as in
lollipop. 20,000 light years under the sea?
Basically.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Basic, yes. It's not, you got half, I give you half credit. You get half a gold star. The C is right, but it's actually the title of the book was 20,000 Leagues.
Leagues. That's right.
So there you go.
Okay.
Light years would be far.
That's true. Thank you for that fact check.
Do you want another one, Ted?
Or? I'm not sure, but I'm willing to play along.
All right. How about this one? 52 C in a D, plus there are two J's.
Wait.
52 C in a D, 52 C in a G, D, C as in Charlie, D as in donut, and two J's are also sometimes included in this collection.
I'm not even going to try this time.
It's 52 cards in a deck.
Oh, man, I could have gotten that one.
Well, it's stressful. You know, you're on air. So
yeah,
I think if we did it off air, you would have killed it.
That's right.
Yeah, totally. And so, Ted, thank you. I also just want to remind our listeners that Ted Goldberg is actually supervising senior editor of news and newscasts at KQED. And before he came on, he said, Mina, I am not a puzzler. But you know what? You are definitely somebody who knows how to play along. And if listeners, you think you can do better than Ted, I totally invite you to come on and ask AJ to put one of his word puzzles to you. Or you can just tell us why you love puzzles and what puzzles you love by calling us at 866-733-6786. Ted, thank you so much.
Anytime, Mina.
Thank you, Ted.
So AJ, I just want to step back with you a little bit and ask you, what makes a puzzle? Like, what qualifies as a puzzle?
That's a great question. I have a very broad definition of puzzles in my book. As you can tell from the subtitle, I consider what is the meaning of life a puzzle. So for me, it's anything that's a mystery, that's a secret that you have to figure out. But I cover in the book 20 different types of puzzles. So crosswords and jigsaws, mazes, riddles, Japanese puzzle boxes, you name it. But it's also, as I say, about the puzzle of life, the puzzle of how to perhaps be miserable be happy or at least less miserable in these stressful times. But I'm a big fan of puzzles and have been since childhood. So this has been a delight for me to investigate.
Yeah, you have talked about the expression by the puzzle maker of Sudoku as one of the ways to really describe what a puzzle is and what makes it sort of magical. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, this is the god. He's called the godfather of Sudoku, Makikaji. And he came up with a three-symbol summary of puzzles. It's the most concise I've ever heard. So it's question mark, forward arrow, exclamation point. So you're met with a baffling situation. That's the question mark. The forward arrow is the struggle. You're working, you're trying to solve. And the exclamation point is the aha moment when you finally realize the answer. And what I love is it doesn't just apply to puzzles. That can apply to stories, to movies, to life, to anything where the
live
arrow,
talk shows.
The live talk shows is definitely a puzzle. And I will say one of his lessons that I think is super wise is that you have to enjoy that forward arrow. It can't all be about that exclamation point, that ending. You've got to love the journey. You've got to love the struggle and enjoy the solving.
Yes. And that arrow is really interesting because you basically say there are two processes. One is like plain old hard work of trying to get to the answer. But tell us about the second.
Yeah, the second is just, it's all about insight. It's all about changing your paradigm and looking at the puzzle from a new point of view. The cliche is, to think outside the box, which actually came from a puzzle. So I don't feel bad using it because the original think outside the box was 9 dots on a page in a square, and you had to connect them with 4 lines without lifting your pencil, and you had to go outside the box. But that's thinking outside the box is what humans do best. That's why we have fire, the wheel, the mRNA vaccine. That to me is the is what makes us people.
But you also love the question mark piece, which is like that bafflement moment. I think you call it psychological pain, but you enjoy it. Why do you think we voluntarily like to baffle ourselves?
Well, I think we all like some sort of challenge. I am not a fan of triathlons, but that's sort of the physical version. But I think we are wired to want a challenge. I think that is evolution has given us the desire to take on a challenge and find the answer, because that's how we make progress as I said, everything from the wheel to the vaccine. So I love a little pain. I don't love a lot of pain. I love a little bit of mental pain, the joy of suffering. And actually, a great author I quote in the book is Paul Bloom, a psychology professor at Yale, who talks a lot about the joy of suffering. Mild suffering.
Let me go to a caller. Latrice in Pittsburgh wants to join us. Hi, Latrice.
Hello.
So tell us, what's a puzzle you love?
I love cryptograms. I'm not super good at them, but I do love them. Whenever I'm able to solve them, or whenever I'm able to get an actual letter or finish an entire puzzle, I feel really good about myself.
Yeah, it's that wonderful feeling. I understand you are also game to do a puzzle on air. Is that right?
Yes.
All right. Do you have one for Latrice, AJ?
Of course. And by the way, cryptograms are great. They were they've been around for decades. These are the ones where you have to you're given a code and you have to decode it. And I loved exploring. I have a whole section on codes. And including Kryptos, which is one of the most famous unsolved codes. It's on a statue at the CIA headquarters in Langley, and not even the CIA has been able to figure it out. So I say that as I am flipping through looking for some good puzzles for you. How about riddles? Riddles don't get enough credit anymore. They are, so I want to.
You game for a riddle, Latrice?
Yeah.
All right, go for it, AJ.
I'm going to do some historical ones. Like, this is from African folklore. Wherever I go, it closely follows me. What is it? What is something that closely follows you wherever you go?
What do you think, Latrice?
Oh, sorry. I thought
that's the
shadow?
End of the puzzle.
Say
yes,
that again.
A shadow. She got it. A shadow. Absolutely.
A shadow. Oh. Yes. Very nice. You want to try one more?
Yes.
All right. This one's a little trickier. This one is from the 1950s, United States. It can travel anywhere in the world simply by staying in the corner. What is it? And I'll try to give you some clues without giving it away, because I didn't get this one. It's tricky. But it travels around the world, but it stays in the corner. And right now, I believe it's at, I actually don't know. Is it at 52 cents? It's, I have the forever versions. So, but this thing costs a little money. You buy
All
it.
All right.
At,
oh, a stamp.
There it is.
Nice. All right. Congratulations, awesome. Latrice. And we'll have more puzzles after the break. Stay with us, listeners. This is Forum.
Wow.
Support for Forum comes from San Francisco Opera. Set 10 years after a school shooting, the critically acclaimed opera Innocence takes us into a complex emotional journey where our understanding of innocence and guilt is constantly upended. Kaija Saariaho's ethereal score collapses the past into the present as a community of survivors grapple with how to move forward. Don't miss the highly anticipated American premiere of Innocence, June 1st through 21st. Learn more at sfopera.com.
We've all got those parts of our house where the internet just won't go. Well, if you had wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity, you could worry less about dead spots. Because with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity, you get fast speeds, reliable connection in every room, and power for all of your devices, even when everyone's online. That's wall-to-wall Wi-Fi, only with Xfinity. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.
Welcome back to Forum. I'm Mina Kim. Here's what we're talking about on Monday. We want to know what Disneyland means to California. Have you been to Disneyland? Is it truly the happiest place on earth? Do you love all things Disney or try to avoid it? You can share your thoughts about Disney and Disneyland ahead of Monday's show by leaving a voicemail with us at 415-553-3300. Today, we are talking about puzzles with AJ Jacobs, whose new book is called The Puzzler, One Man's Quest to Solve the Most Baffling Puzzles Ever, from crosswords to jigsaws to the meaning of life. And we have invited you, our listeners, to join the conversation. What kinds of puzzles do you tend to gravitate toward? What do you love about them? You can tell us at 866-733-6786. Again, 866-733-6786. And you can also post on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We're at KQED Forum. And if you'd like to solve a puzzle live on air, you can let us know that too. And AJ will put one to you. Let me go to Matthew in San Francisco. Hi, Matthew.
Good morning.
So tell us, what type of puzzle do you love to do?
I love the crypto. And I also, the New York Times, Monday through Wednesday. But Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, forget it.
Monday through Wednesday, crossword, you mean?
Yeah, the New York Times, during the week, the first 3 days are simple, you know, but they increase the gravity as the week goes on. And by the time you get to Friday, it's horrible.
Well, can I just jump in to tell you a little story about that? Because that's how I start my book, is a few years ago, I appeared as the clue, the answer to a New York Times crossword puzzle. Clue, and it was author AJ blank, and I was the answer, AJ Jacobs. So I was riding high as a word nerd. This was like my holy grail. And then my brother-in-law emailed me to point out, he did congratulate me, but then he pointed out that I was in the Saturday puzzle where all the answers, like you say, are totally obscure. No one's supposed to know them. So his point was, this is not a compliment. This is proof that no one knows who you are. So I was crushed. The twist is, the happy ending is, I told this story on a podcast, and it happened that one of the New York Times crossword makers was listening and put me in a Tuesday where I don't belong, but I'm in a Tuesday, not a Monday, but I'll take it.
Oh, that is so sweet. Matthew, are you also game to do a puzzle? I think I understand that you said that you were willing to try.
Sure. Yeah.
All right. Well, since you like crosswords, I'm going to give you a couple of my favorite wordplay crossword clues. This one is from Elizabeth Gorski, a New Yorker crossword writer. This is a four-letter word, and the answer is four letters. And the clue is First Lady's Residence. So First Lady's Residence. It's not East Wing, but it is the residence of the First Lady. E blank blank blank, four letters. It was Eden. Yes, he got it. Eden. He got Eden. Right. Exactly.
Matthew, thanks for playing.
Okay.
And as you were talking about how you love crosswords, AJ, I was interested to learn from your book that they were originally called word crosses. First, can you talk about what has drawn you so much to crossword puzzles?
I think I love crossword puzzles for several reasons. I love the idea that all of these, all of the different ideas and objects can all fit inside this grid. So you can have, you know, Abyssinian poets next to Doja Cat, next to, you know, nuclear physics. So I love that it encompasses everything. I also love that it requires you to look at words from different angles. And I think that is so important. So when you see a word like trunk, you think, well, it could be the trunk of an elephant. It could be the trunk of luggage. It could be the trunk of your body. And that has made me much more aware of how words can be used. And in this age of disinformation, I think it's so important to pay super close attention to words and how they can be used. A word like freedom can be used in so many ways, and it can be used to sort of trick us into liking something that may not be so good for us. So I think they're just really good at teaching us how to think.
Yes. Well, one of your three favorite strategies for crossword puzzle solving, you say, is embrace the eraser, meaning that you need to keep your mind flexible, be open to new perspectives, like not to fall in love with one particular hypothesis. And it kind of sounds like life advice. Do you take this as life advice? Embrace the eraser?
Exactly. 100%. Embrace the eraser in crosswords, but also in life. You've got to think probabilistically. You've got to be open to new evidence. And I think that is one of the problems we face as a culture, is that, and I include myself in this bias, that we have a belief and we are so entrenched in it that we are unable to erase it and revise it and amend it. So I am all for, I even go overboard. I say something. Sometimes my wife will say, will you be home by 6 o'clock? And I'll say, there's a 70% chance I'll be home by 6 o'clock. But I don't want to say yes or no, because I do think most of life is on a dimmer. It's not an on off switch. So yes, embrace the eraser.
Well, Anita tweets, logic grid puzzles are my go-to puzzles. Complex clues and elimination of possibilities are bliss. Another listener writes, I recently became addicted to the daily New York Times spelling bee puzzle, like start the new one right at midnight when it's revealed. Kind of addicted.
Oh, it is. Well, first of all, I'm very jealous that she lives in California, because for me, it's revealed at 3 a.m. and I'm addicted as well, but I have to wait for 3 a.m. to do it. But yes, I love the spelling bee. And that one, if you don't know, is 7 letters and you have to make all sorts of words out of it. But I heard a rumor that you are a jigsaw fan.
I do love jigsaw. I love word puzzles too, actually, but I do love jigsaws as well.
That is lovely. Yeah. What do you love about them, if I could ask?
Oh,
I know you're.
Well, I think one of the times that I really like to do them is right when I'm starting a vacation, like right when I'm going on a break, because I feel like it helps get me to the space I want to be in during the vacation. Something about being able to focus not on work, I think being sort of alone and trying to put something together puts me in a brain space that feels just right for trying to get to that place that people say it often takes 10 days to get to, which is to forget about your job.
Right. I love that. I love that. Yeah. A lot of people talk about the meditative joy of jigsaw puzzles. And weirdly, they were not my favorite type of puzzle. I was kind of snobby, but in doing this, I got very into them and I realized the error of my ways. I'm now a huge fan. And as part of this, you know, part of the book is the history of puzzles and part is the actual puzzles you get to solve. But part is my adventures. And I went to Spain to compete as Team USA in the World Jigsaw Puzzle Championship. And it was a disaster. I wish you had been on my team, Mina, because I was an embarrassment to my country. We came in second to last, but it was a joy. It was a disastrous joy because I loved the experience of meeting people at the top of the, you know, even if you think it's a silly skill, to meet the LeBron James of anything is just, is fascinating and wonderful.
I thought that story was so funny. And didn't you also go because no one from the U.S. had signed up?
Yes, I totally lucked into it because this happened to be the first year. It was right before the pandemic, first year that the World Jigsaw Puzzle Championship was happening. And I went on online to look it up, and there were 40 countries signed up, you know, New Zealand and Mexico and Uruguay and no USA. So on a whim, I just filled out the application thinking that they would weed me out. And the next day I got an email, congratulations, you are Team USA. And I had to recruit three other players to be on my team. I recruited my wife and two of my sons. They agreed if they didn't have to wear a uniform, which I said, okay.
Interesting.
And then I made them wear a uniform. So I went back, but it was fascinating. You know, you had 8 hours in this stadium, and you had to complete 4 big jigsaw puzzles over between 1 and 2,500 pieces. Mm. And the Russian team did it in under 4 hours.
Wow.
And we finished one puzzle in 6.5 hours. So we were not a threat, but as I say, a wonderful time nonetheless.
Yeah. Well, my go-to for just the right amount of anguish is 1,000-piece puzzle. I don't know what your go-to is, but I like 1,000. That's kind of like my happy place.
I do too. I do too. I've actually become a fan of there's some sort of wooden hand carved puzzles.
You know what? I think we have a listener who wanted to talk about a wooden hand carved puzzle. Let me go to Sarah in Palo Alto. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, how are you?
Well, what do you want to say, Sarah?
Well, so I'm actually working on one as we speak. And I just over the last 2 years have gotten totally addicted to the wooden jigsaw puzzles. And I think one of the wonderful things about them is that they, the pieces are created, there's identifiable shapes. So there's people in different poses. If it's a gardening puzzle or a floral puzzle, it'll have gardening tools or, you know, animal shapes. And it's just so creative. And then they get really creative with the borders. You think the border is going to be easy. And then the border piece will be like a tiny little pin head point that comes down to the edge. And they're wonderfully addictive.
Well, yeah. Thanks, Sarah, for sharing that. And you were saying too, AJ, how much you love those hand-carved wooden puzzles. Did you want to add anything to what Sarah was saying?
Yeah, I love that she's discovered them. I went to on an adventure to the headquarters of the sort of the biggest, most famous one that makes these called Stave. And as Sarah said, they're so surprised. I have never had a jigsaw puzzle that made me laugh out loud, but these do because they can be so clever and surprising. And the guy who founded Stave is a delightful, he calls himself Chief Tormentor, and he loves to mess with people's minds. Sometimes he'll put pieces in from other puzzles into your box just to make it more difficult. But they are, as Sarah says, they are really fun and beautiful. They're beautiful.
They are also really tactile, and you explore other types of tactile puzzles in your book, a category that you call twisty puzzles, like the Rubik's Cube, and others are there as well. And then there's those beautiful Japanese puzzle boxes that you talk about, which require one very specific sequence of moves to solve. Can you talk about what is satisfying about tactile puzzles like this that you found?
Well, to me, I live in such a non-tactile world. You know, the only tactile activity I do is swiping my phone. So it is, I feel I've lost something. And just having these puzzles where you actually touch them and feel the texture and the hands. And as you mentioned, Japanese puzzle boxes, they were a revelation because I never heard of them, but there's a cult of people who are obsessed with them. What they are is wooden, beautiful wooden boxes. They started in Japan, and the object is to open them up. There's nothing inside, but it's just a challenge to open them. And you have to spin them, you have to turn them upside down, you have to move all sorts of panels, and it can take hours or days or months. And I was just blown away by the cleverness and how artistic they were. And I interviewed some of the people who made them. And they are like, they're like sculptors. They're the Michelangelos of these puzzles.
We're talking about all kinds of puzzles, word puzzles, jigsaws, logic puzzles, and what we love about them and their effects on us. We're talking with A.J. Jacobs, a journalist and author. His new book is The Puzzler, One Man's Quest to Solve the Most Baffling Puzzles Ever, from crosswords to jigsaws to the meaning of life. And your listeners are invited to share the types of puzzles that you gravitate toward and why. 866-733-6786, the number. Email us, forum@kqed.org. You can also post your thoughts on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Let me go to Dave in Hollister. Hi, Dave.
Hey there.
Hey.
How are you?
Well, how are you doing?
Your show, got to buy that book. We always have jigsaw puzzles going at home, and I wanted to tell and see if you've heard of one. They're called Magic Puzzle, where they spin around. Once you complete them, you spin around to a different configuration. It makes a different picture.
Ooh,
about
that
a,
is,
a new
I thing. Hadn't heard of those. I'm going to look into them. Thank you.
And also, my family's been playing Wordle for months, and they just go nuts every morning. They got to talk about how quick they did it. And so I made one that has randomness built in, so it's like a slot machine that spins letters. So it's different every time. It's called mywordspin.com.
Hmm.
And I just created it just because I wanted a little more randomness. And also, I use 2,500 everyday words, although there are up to 15,000 harder words in there.
Oh, but wow.
Easier. Yeah. So check it out, mywordspin.com.
Yeah, you're a perfect example, Dave, of one of the things that I have noticed about Wordle, which is not just a phenomenon that has taken hold, but that there have been so many offshoots of it, AJ. Absurdle, Quartle, Octortle. I know it's too late to include Wordle in your book, but I know you also play Wordle regularly. Talk about what you think is behind Wordle's appeal.
Well, first of all, Mina, I agree 100%. I love how creative that people have been with the spin-offs, and there's Loodle, which has naughty words, and Taylordle for Taylor Swift related words. And I think it's a great example of creativity. I think one, first of all, Wordle, I like it because it's sort of, to recall the first part of our segment, it's like the Tom Hanks of puzzles. It's very nice. It's not threatening. You know, you can usually solve it. So I like that. I also think that one of the things I love most about puzzles is that it does bring people together. Some people consider it a solitary, but I disagree. I think most people do puzzles they tell their friends, they do it together. And I actually saw Josh Wordle, the inventor of Wordle, speak at the crossword puzzle tournament a couple months ago. And he told a lovely story about how there was a gay man who is estranged from his family. They were a very conservative family. And it was Wordle that brought them together. Wordle was sort of a glue, a bond that they could all agree on. So I do think puzzles have this ability to bring people together. It's a uniting, not a dividing force.
Oh, that's so lovely. Martha, a listener, writes something along those lines. Martha writes, "My kids live in different cities, but we connect 3 or 4 times a week with puzzles. Currently, we're into Spelling Bee and Semantle. I rarely achieve Queen Bee, but my kids do. The competition is as much fun as the puzzles. We do not give each other hints. We just brag when we do well." So it really is a community building tool, I guess.
Right. Absolutely. I really think, and there's actually research on this. I talk about Cass Sunstein, who's a famous behavioral scientist and law professor, who he tried to figure out ways to bridge the gap between liberals and conservatives. And he said one of the best and only ways was that they collaborated on a crossword puzzle. So having this goal to work towards together, I love it.
Yeah, well, I love this point in your intro where you write, "If we see the world as a series of puzzles instead of a series of battles,
we will come up with better solutions. That was from A.J. Jacobs' new book, The Puzzler, and A.J. Jacobs is my guest today, and you, our listeners, are as well, sharing with us what puzzles you love and why. And if you'd like to solve a puzzle on air, you can always let us know. A.J. will put one to you, 866-733-6786, the number, 866-733-6786. You can also post your thoughts on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at KQED Forum, or email us, forum@kqed.org. I'm Mina Kim.
Support for Forum comes from San Francisco Opera. Set 10 years after a school shooting, the critically acclaimed opera Innocence takes us into a complex emotional journey where our understanding of innocence and guilt is constantly upended. Kaija Saariaho's ethereal score collapses the past into the present as a community of survivors grapple with how to move forward. Don't miss the highly anticipated American premiere of Innocence, June 1st through 21st. Learn more at sfopera.com.
We've all got those parts of our house where the internet just won't go. Well, if you had wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity, you could worry less about dead spots. Because with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity, you get fast speeds, reliable connection in every room, and power for all of your devices, even when everyone's online. That's wall-to-wall Wi-Fi, only with Xfinity. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.
You're listening to Forum. I'm Mina Kim. We're talking about puzzles this hour, all kinds. Jigsaws, logic puzzles, word puzzles, what we love about them, their effects on our brains and our hearts. A.J. Jacobs is a journalist and author. His new book is The Puzzler, One Man's Quest to Solve the Most Baffling Puzzles Ever, from crosswords to jigsaws to the meaning of life. Jacobs' previous books include Drop Dead Healthy and The Year of Living Biblically. Wow, those sound like other shows we could do, A.J. Jacobs.
Anytime you want me back.
But for now, we've asked listeners to share what puzzles they gravitate toward and why. And you can, of course, do that by emailing us, forum@kqed.org, or posting your thoughts on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Actually, A.J., this has inspired listeners to send some riddles to you. So I'm going to put some to you, if that's okay.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Here's a riddle from Daniel, who writes, "Thieves broke into the police department and stole all the toilets. Why didn't the police solve the crime?"
I like it. First of all, I want to start with an out, which is that I talk about in the book, it's okay not to know the answer. It's important to live with that uncertainty. That's a very good life lesson.
Nice.
So if I don't get the answer, that's my excuse. But why did they not solve the crime? They took all the toilets and they did not solve the crime. Oh man, I don't know.
I don't know either. So
I'm hoping it's not like some pun on like a scatological pun, but it may be. What have we got?
Well, do you think you know, and if anyone knows that answer, you can write it in for us. I'll ask listeners if they know the answer to Daniel's riddle. Ron has another one. What do male decks, male as in M-A-I-L, what do male decks and years have in common?
Male decks and years. Okay, that's a good one. I'm thinking it's a word that connects them all. So like, what would a male decks and years, golden mail, that doesn't work, golden years. I'm going to give up so I don't waste people's time, but I do want other people to write in. Or
if these listeners have mercy on us, they can share the answer. But actually,
I'm usually the one giving the puzzles. I didn't expect to be quizzed myself.
Though I do believe that our producer, Grace One, thinks she has the answer. She says, ooh, police, the one about thieves broke into the police department and stole all the toilets. Why didn't the police solve the crime? Grace writes, police have nothing to go on. We actually posted one. Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying it was a pun, but it was a good pun and pretty G-rated. So I liked it.
Yeah, people are good about that. This is the riddle we posted on social from logician and puzzle legend Raymond Smullyan. Created a genre called Knights and Knaves puzzles in his 1978 book, What is the Name of This Book? These puzzles take place on an island where there are two types of people, knights who always tell the truth and knaves who always lie. So here's one of the least confusing examples, yet it's still confusing.
On the island of knights and knaves, you meet two people on the road. The first one says, "We are both knaves. What are they?" And actually, the very first person to get that answer was Nathan. But do you know the answer, AJ?
Well, I do, because it's in my book. So that helped me.
Right. Yes. Right. You're a ringer.
That's right. The answer is that one is a knave and one is a knight. And you can do it just by going through. If they were both knaves, then that wouldn't work. If they were both knights and they told the truth, that wouldn't work. So it has to be a knight and a knave. But I love those. That's the easiest version of these knights and knave puzzles. They get so twisty and confusing and I think delightful. But they are, they're a whole genre unto themselves.
Well, I want to clap for Nathan, who was the first to answer. Thank you, Nathan. Congrats. The first person to answer for us. We've got some more calls coming in. Let me go to John in Belmont. Hi, John.
Hello. Hi, AJ. This is John Pliska, actually, your puzzle conspirator Greg's brother.
Oh, my goodness. Hello, John.
I'm here in Belmont, and I'm calling, as you can probably guess, I've had a lot of puzzles that my brother has had me solved, and there is this notion in gift giving that it is a great honor to receive a gift, but it's an even greater honor to have your gift received. And I was wondering if you could comment on the joys of actually both making puzzles and then watching the process others go through as they solve those puzzles.
Oh, I love that. First of all, let me just say quickly, John's brother, Greg Pliska, is my collaborator. He came up with 20 original puzzles for the book that are fantastic, in addition to the historical ones we include. And there is a contest, no purchase necessary,
yep,
that Greg actually is leading the charge on. And it's a very, I can boast about it because I did nothing for it. He did everything and his collaborators. But if you go to thepuzzlerbook.com, you will see this amazing contest they created. And the prize is actually $10,000.
Right.
So anyway, I love the question. I actually discovered that I do not have the personality of a puzzle maker, because you do have to be able to tolerate other people being in pain. And I am... I just don't have that in me. I'm too much of a softy. So I don't like to see people. I'd rather be the one suffering. I did create some puzzles as part of my adventures, but I am a fan of being the puzzle solver as opposed to the puzzle maker.
Well, John, thanks so much for the call. I really appreciate it. You know, one of the things that puzzles do is they are basically pattern finding things. And I think one of the things that I was struck by was a comment from earlier where the listener wrote that they're a little addicted. I think there's a side to puzzles that you also touch on in your book, which is a darker side, a dark side that we should all be aware of. Can you just talk a little bit about the dangers that can happen from becoming a little too addicted to puzzles, especially maybe pattern finding puzzles?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it can be a vice if it takes over your life. I think it's, as far as vices go, it's not a bad one. But I think what you're referring to is this, this word I discovered called apophenia, which is a fascinating concept. And just to explain it, is patterns are so important. We are programmed as humans to find patterns. And that's great. That is usually great. That's, science is all about finding patterns and solving puzzles. But you can become addicted to finding patterns and finding patterns that aren't there. So seeing the face of Virgin Mary in a piece of French toast, that's what apophenia is. When you find patterns that are not there and you get attached to them and refuse. And to me, that is a big part of what's wrong with the world right now, is that people are finding, QAnon is a perfect example. They have solved this puzzle. They think they have solved the puzzle, but it's not true. They have made it up. They have found these patterns that don't exist in emails from, you know, Democratic staff members. They've found all of these patterns and they won't let go. Whatever they see confirms. They've got the confirmation bias. So in puzzles, in whether you're doing crosswords or whether it's politics, I think it's so important to be open, to be flexible, to look at the, be willing to look at evidence and change your mind. I think that we should celebrate people who change their mind, as opposed to saying, oh, he's no backbone or he's a flip-flopper. No, that to me is a sign of intelligence and flexibility, and that's what we need.
Well, let me go to caller John in San Bernardino. Hi, John.
Hello there.
Go right ahead.
Hello.
Yes. I think the best kind of puzzles are public policy problems, which is your last comments segue right into it. And they are not only challenging and fascinating, but if you solve one, you're improving the world.
I love that.
And go ahead.
Oh, no, I didn't mean to interrupt. I was just going to say that is kind of the way I see the world, as a series of puzzles. And if I'm in a discussion about public policy with someone else, instead of seeing it as a fight, to try to see it as a puzzle. What do we disagree on? Why do we believe what we believe? Is there evidence that I can use or she can use to change my mind? And that makes it more of a collaborative adventure, as opposed to this war between two, which rarely leads to progress. People are rarely convinced when you just, hammer them with your side, as opposed to asking questions.
Well, thanks, John, for the comment. And that's what I was going to say, AJ, or prompt you to say, was just that really does feel like the real core, the theme of your entire book. Let me go to Helen in Queens Creek, Arizona. Hi, Helen.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
Well, I wanted to present an odd man out question, kind of like what they used to have on Says You at 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoons on KQED.
Cool, go for it.
It's a non-mathematical puzzle with numbers. Mm. What's the odd man out of 1, 2, 3, and 4, and why?
The odd man out of 1, 2, 3, and 4. That's very interesting. I'm not going to waste people's time hemming
Helen?
And hawing. I'm going to say, I love the question, and what is the answer?
Okay, before you answer,
three.
Helen.
It has no homonyms.
Say that one more time.
Three, because it has no homonyms. 1, 2, and 4 all can be spelled different ways.
Ooh, thanks, right. Helen. That's a stumper, actually.
That is good. Like,
you stumped
one
our
can
producers
be WN.
Yeah. Appreciate that. Thanks for that. Let me remind listeners, we're talking with AJ Jacobs. We're talking about puzzles, why we love them, and what they do for us, how they affect our brains and hearts. And you are listening to Forum. I'm Mina Kim. As we're trying to do puzzles on the air in these moments, one of the things I do remember you saying, as somebody who is a puzzler, someone who is so obsessed with puzzles, that you actually don't think you're very good at them, or that you're good at them, but you wouldn't call yourself a puzzle master.
Right. Yeah, I'm okay. I'm sort of, like if it was basketball, I'd be a pretty good intramural player. But there are people who are NBA level, and I love that. I love meeting them. I'm happy not to be the best, because there's so much to learn. But yes, meeting people who, just are on another level. And one of the adventures I went on was to the MIT Mystery Hunt, which is like the Ironman Triathlon for puzzle nerds. And it is every January in Boston. 2,000 people come and spend 72 straight hours solving the hardest puzzles you can imagine. They're so hard, you need 50 people on your team to crack them. And it was just a joy to watch these people because these puzzles will blow your mind. They don't even have instructions. You'll just get something like a fortune cookie, and inside are a bunch of mysterious symbols. And that's it. That's the puzzle. You have to figure out what the heck that means. And they are available online. So people can search MIT Mystery Hunt and check them out. But do it with several friends. Don't do it alone, or else you will be frustrated.
But if you're not so great at puzzles, how did you get your puzzle epiphany, basically, in terms of the power of puzzles?
Well, I'm not terrible at puzzles. I just want to put that out there. But I also, I mean, I love them. I love them. And I love the joy of the struggle. I love the aha moments. I love being able to think outside the box. It makes me, I feel more creative in my life. And as I say, it's a communal thing. So I am a huge enthusiast. You know, I'm sort of like, you know, this is my sports, so but I may was, not be.
Yeah. Sorry to interrupt you, AJ, but I'm just curious if there's a moment when you were like, wow, this puzzle saved my life, or this puzzle really had a life-changing effect.
I was addicted very early on. So I was, as a kid, I subscribed to Games Magazine and, you know, looked forward to that. I would make these pencil mazes. I was super into mazes, and I would make mazes the size of my living room. So it was never a big epiphany or a turning point. It's just been a lifelong obsession.
Well, our producer Grace says AJ and I are the same nerd. Let me go to caller Jeff in Sunnyvale. Hi, Jeff.
Hi. I have an answer to your question about what's common or male decks and years.
Oh, male decks and years, that riddle. Yes. What's the answer, Jeff?
52 cents for to send the mail, first class, 52 cards in a deck, and 52 weeks in a year.
Ah.
Wow. Nice. Well, all right. That,
you guys
that's
almost
good.
Gave it earlier, and you had a... your puzzle on 52D in a Y.
So, right.
Oh, right. We had them both. We had 52C and a D and 52W and a Y. So we were just dancing around it the whole time, huh?
Right.
Well, thanks for giving us that relief. And there is also that moment, right, AJ, that's just so wonderful. The moment of aha, as you've called it, that moment of sort of puzzling with something, being in that state of mild, just on the edge of mild suffering, and then getting to that moment of aha. And Jeff has done that for us.
Yeah, I felt the dopamine just spurred on out when he said that. That was great. Although it won't last forever, because the mail stamps will go up to
that's true
or whatever. That's so enjoy true. It while you can.
That's true. And that's also the wonderful thing about puzzles. Well, Sharon writes, I'm totally addicted to the Jigsaw Puzzle app. I really like that I can do other things like listen to the radio. Giants Baseball and Forum are my favorite go-to radio to listen to while working a jigsaw. Aw, thanks, Sharon. That's so nice of you to say. I really appreciate knowing that you like to listen to us while you're doing jigsaws as well. So I guess in many ways we've had a conversation where we really experienced the bafflement, the joys of suffering with other people with regard to puzzles and unsolved puzzles. And I guess that seems to be a good place to end. Give our frustrated puzzlers out there who are noodling on puzzles a little bit of your point about the joys of suffering.
That's right. Don't enjoy what we talked about, that forward arrow. That is that to me, when he sent that, it was sort of like life wisdom. It's the old saw about enjoying the journey, not just the destination. So love it. Even if you never get that last piece in, you can still love the feeling of the trek and getting those, even just getting two pieces in a jigsaw puzzle can be joyful.
Well, AJ, it was a joy talking to you. Thanks so much for coming on.
Well, my pleasure. I had a great time.
AJ Jacobs. The book is The Puzzler, One Man's Quest to Solve the Most Baffling Puzzles Ever, from Crosswords to Jigsaws to the Meaning of Life. This hour of Forum is produced by Ariana Prale, Grace One, Cesar Saldana. Caroline Smith was our engagement producer this week, and Susan Britton is our lead producer. Our senior producer is Susan Davis. Our engineers are Danny Bringer, Katie McMurrin, Brendan Willard, and Jim Bennett. Our interns are Jennifer Ng and Paul C. Kelly Campos, with help from Stephen Shemileski. Our executive editor is Ethan Tobin Lindsay, and our chief content officer is Holly Kernan. I'm Mina Kim. Thank you for listening.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, the Generosity Foundation, and the Heising-Simons Foundation.
Support for Forum comes from San Francisco Opera. Set 10 years after a school shooting, the critically acclaimed opera Innocence takes us into a complex emotional journey where our understanding of innocence and guilt is constantly upended. Kaija Saariaho's ethereal score collapses the past into the present as a community of survivors grapple with how to move forward. Don't miss the highly anticipated American premiere of Innocence, June 1st through 21st. Learn more at sfopera.com.
We've all got those parts of our house where the internet just won't go. Well, if you had wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity, you could worry less about dead spots. Because with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity, you get fast speeds, reliable connection in every room, and power for all of your devices, even when everyone's online. That's wall-to-wall Wi-Fi, only with Xfinity. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.